Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom, it's Johanna here, your reader today. Today is Wednesday, the 3rd of April. And on the Hebrew calendar, it is the 24th of Adar 2. And this week, our portion from the Torah is called Shemini, which means 8th. And we're going to read today first from Leviticus 10, verse 12 through 15. Let's begin first by blessing God and thanking us for His precious word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Moshe spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Itamar, his surviving sons. Take the grain offering left over from the Lord's offerings by fire, and eat it without chametz beside the altar, for it is most holy. You are to eat it in a holy place, because it is your portion and your son's portion of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. For so I have been commanded. You are to eat the breast that was waved and the thigh that was presented in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you, for they are given as your portion and your children's portion out of the sacrifices of the fellowship offerings of Bnei Israel. They are to bring the thigh that is presented and the breast that is waved with fat portions scorched by fire, to wave it as a wave offering before the Lord. So it will be yours and your sons with you, a share forever, as the Lord has commanded. That was Leviticus 10, verse 12 through 15. And now our portion today from the prophets is Isaiah 22. The burden of the valley of vision. What is the matter with you now? For you have gone up to the rooftops. You were full of noise, a boisterous city, an exultant town. Your dead were not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All your rulers have fled together, then captured without a bow. All who were caught were taken into exile together, though they had fled far off. Therefore I said, look away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Don't try to comfort me about the ruin of the daughter of my people. For my Lord, the Lord of hosts, has a day of panic, trampling, and confusion in the valley of vision, of tearing down a wall, a catastrophe on the mountain. Elam took up the quiver, with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. So it will come to pass that your choicest valleys will be full of chariots and horsemen posted at the gate. So he will expose Judah's defense. And in that day you will look for the armor in the forest house. Then you will see the breaches in the walls of the city of David, for they will be many, though you collect the water of the lower pool. Though you counted the houses of Jerusalem, you broke down the houses to fortify the wall. You even made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But you did not look to the Maker or consider the one who planned it long before. Now in that day, the Lord God of hosts will call for weeping and wailing, for baldness and putting on sackcloth. But instead, there is joy and gladness, slaughtering cattle and killing sheep, meat and drinking wine. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. But the Lord of hosts revealed in my ears, surely this sin will not be atoned for until you die, says my Lord, the Lord of hosts. Thus says my Lord, the Lord of hosts, go say to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the house, what are you doing here? And who are you to be here that you cut out a grave for yourself, carving out a tomb on the height, chiseling a crypt for yourself in the rock? Behold, strong man, the Lord is about to hurl you headlong and seize you firmly. He will roll you up tightly and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you will die, and your glorious chariots will be the shame of your master's house. I will remove you from your post and pull you down from your station. In that day, I will summon my servant, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him in your robe and fasten your sash on him. I will give your authority into his hands, so he will be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will set the key of the house of David upon his shoulder. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, and no one can open. I will fasten him as a peg in a firm place, and he will be a throne of honor to his father's house. They will hang all the glory of his father's house on him, offspring and posterity, all the small vessels, from bowls to the jar, to all the jars. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, the peg that was fastened in a firm place will give way, break away, and fall. And the load that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. That was Isaiah 22. Today, our portion from the writings is Proverbs chapter 6. My son, if you have become a cosigner for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in a pledge with a stranger, if you are trapped by your own words, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and free yourself. Since you fell into your neighbor's hand, go, humble yourself, plead with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Escape like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you slacker, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it prepares its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and your poverty comes like a bandit, and your need like an armed man. A scoundrel, a wicked man, is one who goes around with a perverse mouth, winking his eyes, shuffling his feet, pointing his fingers, who continually plots evil with a deceit in his heart, stirring up strife. Therefore his disaster will come suddenly. In an instant he will be broken with no remedy. Six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet that run to evil, a false witness who spouts lies, and one who stirs up strife among brothers. My son, keep your father's mitzvah and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart continually. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you wake up, they will speak to you. For the mitzvah is a lamp, Torah is a light, and corrective discipline the way of life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from a wayward wife's smooth tongue. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyelids. For on account of a prostitute, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. A man's wife preys on your precious life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without burning his clothes? Or can a man walk upon hot coals without scorching his feet? So he is who goes to another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must repay sevenfold, giving up all the wealth of his house. He who commits adultery with a woman lacks sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. He will find disease and disgrace. His shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will show no mercy in the day of revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will not consent, even if your bribe is great. That was Proverbs chapter 6, and now our final portion for today is from the apostles, and it is Acts 23. Paul, looking intently at the Sanhedrin, said, "Brothers, I have lived my life in all good conscience for God up to this day. But the Kohen Gadol, Hananiah, ordered those standing by him to strike him on the mouth." Then Paul said, "God is going to strike you on the mouth, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit judging me according to the Torah? And yet, in violation of the Torah, you order me to be struck." Those standing nearby said, "Do you insult God's Kohen Gadol?" Paul said, "I didn't know, brothers, that he is the Kohen Gadol. For it has been written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But, recognizing that one group was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the Sanhedrin, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection or angel or spirit, but the Pharisees affirm them all. Then there was a great uproar. Some of the Torah scholars of the Pharisees' party stood up and protested sharply. "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or angel has spoken to him?" As a big dispute was developing, the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. So he ordered the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the headquarters. The following night, the Lord stood beside Paul and said, "Take courage, for just as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." When it was day, the Judean leaders formed a conspiracy. They bound themselves by an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who formed this plot. They went to the ruling Kohanim and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves with a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. So now you and the Sanhedrin serve notice to the commander to bring him down to you, like you are about to investigate his case more thoroughly. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near." But the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush. She went into the headquarters and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the commander, for he has a message for him." So the centurion took him and led him to the commander and said, The prisoner, Paul, called me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say to you. The commander took him by the hand, stepped aside, and began asking him privately, "What is it that you have to report to me?" And he said, "The Judean leaders have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the Sanhedrin tomorrow, as if they are about to investigate more thoroughly about him. But do not give in to them, for more than 40 of them have bound themselves by an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. Even now, they are ready and waiting for your consent." So the commander dismissed the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you have informed me about these things." Calling two of his centurions, he said, "At the third hour of the night, prepare 200 soldiers, along with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen, to proceed as far as Caesarea. Also, provide mounts for Paul to ride, so that he might be brought safely to Felix the governor." He wrote a letter to this effect: "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Judean leaders and was about to be killed by them when I came on the scene with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he is a Roman citizen. Desiring to know the charge of which they were accusing him, I brought him down to their Sanhedrin. I found that he was accused concerning issues of their law, but charged with nothing worthy of death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there was a plot against the man, I sent him to you immediately, also ordering his accusers to state before you what they have against him." So the soldiers, in keeping with their orders, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the next day, they returned to headquarters, leaving the horsemen to go on with him. When they came to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul before him. Upon reading the letter, the governor asked what province he was from. When he learned that Paul was from Cilicia, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers have arrived also." Then he gave orders for Paul to be guarded in Herod's praetorium. That was Acts 23, and it concludes our readings for today. If you are reading through the New Testament twice in this year's cycle, you'll be reading Revelation 17 today also. I pray the Word of God was a blessing to your heart and your spirit as you listen today. I'm Johanna with Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom from Israel. Until next time.